Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Yeah, we can dive in.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Been thinking about these things for years, although I had a horrible experience watching, I don't know if I'm going to go back to the MCU.
Oh, really? Okay, so have you... Okay, well, first of all, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hypecast, the show where Tom normally says the intro. I'm one of your hosts, David Bell. My co-host, Tom, couldn't be here today for... he had to attend to a personal matter. But luckily, I have a guest co-host. Please introduce yourself.
It's me, Bridget Greenberg. I ate Tom.
She did. It's true. I watched it all happen.
I ate him.
It was really weird.
Yeah. I know he looks tall, but I, like a snake, unhinged my jaw.
Exactly. How are you?
I'm good.
How you been?
I've been great. Had a lovely drive from West Hollywood to Pasadena. It's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. It could be worse.
No, it could be way worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if we want to backtrack on what I said, but I just...
Yeah, I want to backtrack. You started... Okay.
I came in hot.
We're gonna dive right into these trailers.
Yeah.
Because the first one is Spider-Man Far From Home. I don't know if this matters anymore, but I guess maybe I'll put a spoilers warning and like a spoilers from here to here, because we can't discuss this trailer without talking about Endgame, which I assume if you watch...
I did see Endgame.
Okay,
and
good.
When I said I was done with the MCU, it has nothing to do with them.
Okay.
I was never like a super fan of it, but I just had a horrible experience because I was on the verge of a stomach flu while watching that movie. So I was sitting there in just horrible distress for 3 hours.
I know what you're talking about.
It was the worst movie going experience I've ever had in my life, and I hated it, and I'll never see the movie again. And it has nothing to do with the movie.
I got sick on Christmas when I was like a teenager, and I stayed up all night puking and watching reruns of The Critic.
Yeah.
So I can't watch The Critic anymore. It's just a thing.
Yeah, I have PTSD from that movie. It was the most stressful experience I've ever had for 3 hours. And I sat through most of it. I got like all the way through the final battle before I'm like, I gotta go throw up now.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah, so I didn't see... I guess it's where I didn't see the, like, whenever they made the plan for Cap to go back, I missed that part.
Okay. Okay. You didn't miss that much.
I didn't miss that much. I'm a pro vomiter. I hate that.
Pro vomiter?
Yeah. Moving on. I don't want that to be my title.
You don't want that. Yeah, you don't want that on your business card.
Yeah, that doesn't...
as for this trailer, one of the things we were in our... We just watched about this. This came up too.
Yeah.
Is that Peter Parker sure is lucky that when he came back, all of his classmates and close personal friends also survived this or had the snap happen to them.
Right.
Because otherwise they'd all be 5 years older. So
right.
Yeah, everybody, MJ and his best buddy there. I assume Aunt May, we don't know.
We don't really know.
But
his buddy whose name I will never remember. He clearly got snapped away.
He had to.
What does the school system do in the MCU?
I don't know.
It's a logistical nightmare. Yeah.
We talked about this and we just watched things like debt and people who had jobs, people remarried. Like, it's a nightmare. This movie should just be about Peter Parker putting his life back together.
Well, that, I mean, go watch The Leftovers for that. That's a fantastic show. The Leftovers, I mean, the snap is pretty much what happens in The Leftovers.
Okay.
And The Leftovers is great. Deals with it very well.
I've never watched The Leftovers. That's the HBO show, right?
That's the HBO show.
It's
got to
be good.
It's very good. Yeah. You gotta stick through a couple episodes of the first season, the first couple episodes, but then top tier television.
Okay. That's my least favorite TV show advice. And I know it's true a lot of the times, but like, you just have to bear with it.
It's terrible advice, and I heard it, and it took me like a year to watch the first season.
Right.
And then I was all on board after that. But yeah, it took me a solid year because the first episodes are a little rough, shaky start. But then you get the snap. It's basically the drama version instead of the action movie, the Disney Marvel action movie of what happens if the population goes away.
Right. I'm wondering if this is going to be like a Harry Potter situation where that we spent like 10 years on Harry Potter, and I never read the books, but I felt emotional in that last fucking movie. Like, because it was just so much time.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's going to be like Fantastic Beasts now, and they're like, and now it's some more. And everybody's like, no, we want to move on.
I feel like they'll be a little better off than that just because we do know these characters.
Yeah, they've done a good job at the slow transition.
It's not like the just like, here's more content that we got with Harry Potter for the sake of there being more content. Like, there are stories that need to or have a purpose in continuing.
Right. And they got Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
They're ripping out the Gyllenhaal for this one.
Yeah, that it will be cool. I don't know. Those movies are fun. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good at being a Spider-Man.
What, Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
Oh.
These Tom Holland's iteration. Tom Holland. So I'm...
Now I want a Gyllenhaal Spider-Man.
Gyllenhaal.
He could have done it.
He looks enough like Tobey Maguire where if you just switch them out three, I wouldn't have noticed.
I think if Tom was here, Tom's probably yelling at us right now.
Yeah.
I think Gyllenhaal might have been considered for Spider-Man at one point.
That sounds right.
I think for the third movie, they were thinking of doing a switcheroo because they weren't sure about Tobey Maguire's contract or something like that.
Yeah.
This is based off very loose information, but yeah, I could see them just quietly switching out those two at that point.
That would have been funny, but I feel like especially
a dead goldfish, like just hoping no one would notice.
Especially in 3, where emo Spider-Man is essentially Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
It's the same character.
That would have been amazing if just for his emo scenes he was Jake Gyllenhaal
as Donnie Darko.
Okay. I guess, man, we had a good transition from HBO to the Watchmen trailer, but we're not at the Watchmen trailer.
But we can talk about
let's talk about It Chapter Two.
Yeah, we talked about this a little before where I just don't like when trailers are just scenes. That bothers me. That concerns me.
I get what you're saying. I did like seeing this scene because this scene in the miniseries, at least, not so much in the book from my memory of the book, but in the miniseries it was like a big deal scene.
Okay.
It stuck out in my memory. It creeped me out a lot as a kid.
I mean, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're leaning into the comedy with that naked old woman like scampering about and giving creepy looks.
She's like a little golem back there. Like, she's just, people have already started making like memes of it. Because it is kind of, it's one of those levels
of creep. She just gets naked?
Yeah. I think the first It was like this too. The new one. Yeah. Is that it's a level of like overt creepiness that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't get around that. Like, all of a sudden, there's just a naked old lady and she's doing the crazy It run with the limbs going.
Yeah,
like,
that was great.
She's great. If I just don't get, Jessica Chastain needed to get out of that house immediately. I feel like you're in Derry.
Right.
A creepy old lady opens the door and welcomes you in so nicely. You're just like, I can't go in this house.
This is definitely, I assume you saw the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the miniseries?
I didn't see the miniseries.
You didn't?
Yeah.
I encourage you to watch the miniseries. If you liked the.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on board.
The one thing I'm liking these new ones. They're a lot of fun. But the miniseries, which is bad in a lot of places, because it has like three musical montages. Okay. It's a very 90s thing. It's a TV miniseries.
Right,
so it's,
I know. I know of it.
Yeah. But one thing it did do is nothing was presented. It was all very like, not brightly lit, but lit the way normal things would be lit and presented in a more normal way that would get kind of fucked up here and there. And Tim Curry, he just looks like a clown, but he's really creepy in his performance.
Right.
This is like if you saw that clown if you were a kid.
Oh, horrifying.
Yeah, you wouldn't go near the clown.
I never understood like the fear of clown things until this movie. And then I'm like, oh, I get it now. Yeah, no, they're creepy.
Yeah, if they look like that.
And they look like that. Yeah, before it's like, I mean, everyone has irrational fears. I'm afraid of snails. I'm not going to judge anybody. But...
Oh, snails are great.
No, they're horrifying.
I had a snail aquarium briefly. One thing I learned is that they fuck like mad.
Oh,
there's so many of them. Oh my God, this is making you visibly uncomfortable.
I hate them so much. Okay. And there's one that keeps coming. I look at a lot of animals on Instagram, and there's just this giant snail that keeps coming up on my Discovery page that someone's holding like a small animal.
Can you block it? Can you block the snail?
I'm going to report it. Get these people kicked off Instagram posting snails like they're puppies. They're not.
It's fucked up. Yeah.
They're not.
But going to what you're saying about this scene, I agree where it's like, why would you go into that creepy old woman's house?
Yeah. I mean,
in the like the miniseries, she's not like creepy at first.
Right. Okay.
And it's just like, yeah, you go talk to this old woman. Like,
yeah, it's immediate danger. And it's immediately like, oh, she's going to get up and get out of that house the whole time.
Yeah.
She had so many opportunities to be like, this is obviously horrible.
Yeah, for her to be like, well, I'm clearly in a horror movie. I need to get out of here.
Yeah, and also clearly the daughter of Pennywise.
Yeah, that's new lore, I think. It's been a while since I read the book. The book is huge and does
it's a Stephen King book.
Yeah, it has so much lore in it.
Yeah.
But like in the miniseries, at least, that's not a thing. It's just like a weird hallucination in the house. Like,
right.
In the miniseries, she runs out of the house, turns around, and the reveal is that the house is actually abandoned, and like she didn't even go in the house; it's just boarded up.
Cool.
Yeah, and so like, I don't know what they're doing here. It's weird that Pennywise would like. I think it's like Pennywise is still just screwing with her or something.
Yeah, because I mean, there's no real. I mean, they kind of dove into maybe some historical backstory of it.
Yeah.
In the movie, but I don't know how much of that we're gonna get. I don't know how much of it I really want.
They could go so over the top with this. In the book, did you read the book?
I did not. I only saw the movie. Fake fan.
It's a long book. It's a long, weird book.
It's a long book. I don't get time.
The book has one thing about the book is it has one scary scene that I've yet to see in the movie.
Yeah.
That is better than anything in any of the movies. It also has, at one point, I think a dam breaks and the town floods. There's, I think, a giant eyeball in it. It goes really over the top in the book. And I would love to see the movie do something like that. I think there's a giant bird at one point.
Okay, I need to read this book because it's way crazier than I thought. Well, I mean, I knew Creepy Clown.
Right. The idea is that it takes on... It takes on your greatest fears.
Right,
and stuff.
It's anything that you're afraid of. But yeah. Giant bird?
Yeah, it would get way more elaborate and like almost like sci-fi or fantasy.
Right.
Because it's the fears of children and children are idiots. So it's like a bunch of dumb shit.
It would be a big snail for me. That's horrible.
It would be.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. My hope for this one is because the clown and all the CGI they did with the clown was so good, but every other monster that manifested was not scary at all and like laughably bad.
Well, because I heard with the Skarsgård there. A lot of the stuff that there was definitely some CGI, but a lot of it was like his own body manipulation too and performance.
Well, and again, but him folding out of that refrigerator.
I hope he can't do that.
Yeah. That'd be horrifying. But yeah, all the other kids' monsters, it like took me out of the movie so much that
Yeah, that lady, the painting lady, yeah. which I don't think was in the book, that was just kind of weird.
Yeah. But that was, that one amused me just because the painting lady was the one that the kid saw in his rabbi's office.
Yes.
And every rabbi's office has a weird painting like that, that you just sit there and stare at as you're being yelled at or something.
That he puts in there just on purpose to keep children out.
Yeah, they're in the halls of every temple. I think if any religious building, there are creepy oil paintings like that that I remember just looking at and being like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. I think any occupation, we have to deal with kids a lot.
Right.
You need something to like creep them out a little, right. or scar them and just get, yeah.
One horrible oil painting.
Yeah, exactly. Just put the fear in them.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we should move on to Watchmen.
Let's do it.
This is the HBO Watchmen.
Yeah, the trailer. Juggalos.
The Juggalos.
The Juggalos are coming.
Care? Do you care?
I mean, a little. I mean, okay. A little bit, because speaking of Damian Lindelof, who did, he did The Leftovers, okay. and lost.
But, oh, okay.
So I like his work, and I, you know, like yeah. the 2008-7 movie.
I liked it too, but I keep thinking like I should watch that again, and then I remember that it's really long.
Yes, and I keep doing that because I saw it in theaters and I was like, I liked it. Let me see if I still like it. And yeah,
right now I'm like, I should watch that again in the background while right. I do something else.
Yes, and I feel like it's a bad background movie.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah, it's a movie that if it's on in the background, you're just gonna do the other thing. Because right. you can't really just jump into that.
Right, exactly. It's got a lot of pretty moments.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm apprehensive about it, though.
It apparently takes place after the movie.
Okay.
Which explains why there's like a gang of
right.
the what's-his-names.
Right.
I guess they said it was like not in the timeline of the movie. It was originally supposed to be with Zack Snyder.
Right.
And then he, I think, dropped out of it. And then they were saying, okay, it's not the same universe, but it also takes place after the events of that one. So.
Right. It's hard to gauge what's happening.
Yes.
So that's why it's hard. I mean, I know like fans of Damian Lindelof and like Lost. Huge Lost fans and stuff who were hyped, and then I watched that trailer and I was like, well, I really got nothing out of this.
Right.
It was something I was mildly interested before, and I remain mildly interested, but like for reasons that don't have anything to do with this trailer,
right? Yeah,
or anything I've heard about it for that fact.
I'm always up for a new HBO show that I yeah. can obsess over.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a Westworld.
Yes.
And I don't have a lot of hope that it's not.
Yeah.
Either.
I don't want to sound old, but HBO used to be better. I think.
Back in your day?
Yeah, exactly.
When it was just boxing?
Yeah. No, I'm watching Deadwood for the third time.
Yeah.
Well,
they're going to bring that back. I'm sure you've yes. talked about it on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. And like The Sopranos and fucking right. was 6 Feet Under on HBO.
Yeah, 6 Feet Under was HBO.
And The Wire, of course. Yeah. Like they were killing it. And then I guess they still kind of are. Game of Thrones feels so.
It got bigger. Yeah, it got.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the biggest show on TV.
Yeah.
Rightfully.
It's earned yeah. it. Yeah.
It has. It's just, yeah, there's such a cult around it. I don't even think you can call it cult. There's just a culture behind it now.
Yeah. I think what it is that Westworld is very, it's that mystery box stuff.
Right. And it's trying very hard to stay in that. And I hope if Watchmen will do that because it's in the J.J. Abrams camp. But right. I hope it does it more authentically, I guess, than Westworld, where Westworld feels like it's trying very hard to be like mysterious and confusing and mystery boxing.
Right.
With no plan and no actual like motive behind any of the mystery.
Right.
Where I hope Watchmen can motivate any of the J.J. Abrams-ness of it all.
Yeah. And I guess we have, we have that, and then we have Game of Thrones, which is very fantasy. I think I think what HBO is missing is like human, more human stories now.
Yeah. Well, they have, they do, they have that. Insecure is very much that, which is Issa Rae's show. They have like smaller shows. They just don't advertise them.
Okay, they just don't advertise them.
Yeah, like they do. Yeah, they have Veep.
Veep. I need to watch Veep.
Yeah, I mean, it, once Armando Nucci left, it wasn't the same show, but you still get, you know, it's still jokes. Well,
I've never watched any of it, so for me, it would just
Oh, it's great.
Start.
It's just jokes. It's just like rapid fire, breakneck speed jokes.
It's like 30 Rock style, or it's just...
Yeah, it's a little more, there's an HBO element to it, so it's a little more like buttoned up and political humor than 30 Rock was, but it's the same like lightning speed.
Okay.
That you have. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus is
incredible. She's terrific.
She's so good. It's amazing. But yeah, and The Leftovers.
The Leftovers. After I rewatch Deadwood.
Yeah, Deadwood. I mean, they'll bring that back and then, you know, they have stuff.
I'm prepping for Deadwood. That's what I'm doing. Because the movie's coming out. Do you know when the movie's coming out?
I don't know.
I'm not going to
look. Did they release the date for that movie?
Probably.
Feel like that's still, I thought that was still like rumor mill.
There's
movie.
A trailer. There's
maybe
a whole,
I got okay.
There's a whole goddamn trailer.
I think I'm confused between the show and the movie now.
Okay.
I think I haven't separated those two in my brain yet.
That's fair.
There's too much, you know.
Okay, let's get to the next trailer.
All right.
This one is going to be on Netflix. It's called I Am Mother.
Oh, I loved this trailer. I am on board.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, me too. I was scared. I was watching the trailer and I was like, oh, okay, so the twist is going to be that the robot's bad. And then they're like, and the robot's bad. And it was
right.
Like, oh, okay, good.
It feels like, well, I'm glad they got it over with early and told us in the trailer that that's what's happening.
Yeah,
and
I'm
that
glad
we're
that,
not.
That's
yeah.
not the twist, yeah.
Yeah. It looked really cool. It looked like, I don't, the easy thing to say is Ex Machina, but like what happens when...
Right.
That kind of robot takes over.
Right. It looks like it's like a creepy stalker movie, but
right.
it's a robot.
Yeah.
And I love the post-apocalypse. Hilary Swank fighting a robot. That's
yes.
good.
Yes. Fighting Rose Byrne as a robot.
Is that who's doing the voice?
Yeah, that's it. And yeah, just the, I don't know. She has a very good creepy robot voice.
Yeah.
It's very soothing.
It must be really fun for an actor to get to be a robot. Like,
yeah, I feel like that's so hard to play well.
Yeah. I know for, I forget who does the voice of Hal. I know they recorded his stuff. Kubrick did basically the opposite of what Kubrick normally does is he like had him like wear slippers and put his feet up and be as relaxed and like cool as possible because he was playing a sociopath robot.
Right.
So everything he says is so like relaxed and cool while
that's
he's murdering them.
Interesting. It makes sense. Oh man, he was a madman.
He was a monster. Kubrick, right?
Yeah. He because what he did, I know like this was his directing thing. I don't know. You've probably heard this story where he just makes actors say their lines a million times over and over again, so they dissociate with the words.
Oh God!
Like so, they don't even they can't it like words sound weird to them.
He's a big fan of like breaking them down.
Right. He did that, I think, to Jack Nicholson and Shelley, like in The Shining, especially.
Oh yeah.
He would do that, and that feels like a thing you would do for a robot.
Yeah.
But apparently, no. He got the red carpet rolled out for him.
That's why one of my favorites of his is Eyes Wide Shut, only because that movie is such a weird thing to exist because it's Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. They couldn't be more famous.
No,
but
yeah.
And there's like only one person that they would ever like not question. And it's Kubrick. Like it's them doing a Kubrick film. And so they're
it's
just
so weird.
They're just, that movie took like a year to film.
Yeah.
And normally someone like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman would just be like, no, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, it's a fucking Kubrick
and
film.
And also
I'm gonna do it.
They're like, yeah, we're making art now.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, it was
Tom
Eyes
Cruise
Wide Shut.
Rarely makes art.
I know. And I mean, Vanilla Sky.
Vanilla Sky. That's true.
Unironically, love that movie.
I like, did you ever see the original?
Oh, the Spanish version?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I did not, but I've read a lot about it.
They're both very, very good. Like, yeah. That's one of the few, like, remakes where I was like, and originals where I was like, I like both of them. They are both delightful films.
I'm glad, because Vanilla Sky gets a lot of heat, and I don't think it deserves it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Every now and then, Tom Cruise will be like, I think I'll act.
Yeah.
And then he'll do something like that.
Even his acting is very weird, though. Mm. It's still, there's something unhinged about him that you can't shake.
Yeah. I mean, that's maybe why you should see the original is because what I found interesting was the lead actor in the original kind of just like Tom Cruise.
Really?
Yeah. And so like it actually made sense when they're like, who are we going to cast for this role? Huh. It's supposed to be kind of like a pretty boy. Like
right.
Tom
it's a
Cruise.
Pretty vain douchey guy.
Yeah. And it works so well.
Yeah. Penelope Cruz is still also in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they were like, who do we cast? And they're like, well, she was fucking perfect.
She's
in the
great.
Original.
Yeah, she can sell tickets in America, too.
We just need a Kurt Russell in here, and we're all set.
That's crazy. They need to recast Kurt Russell. Yeah. Cast him in everything.
Cast Kurt Russell. So, yeah, that's I Am Mother.
That is, okay.
I don't have much to say about this just because.
I know nothing about it.
Exactly. I looked up the director. It's a new director.
Right. There's not much, but it looks really cool. I'm on board for that. Any version where, you know, it's a mix of how sci-fi and robots, AI
right.
mixes with humans is the interesting version of it to me.
Right.
And this seems like that. So I'm on board.
Yeah.
I like this trailer.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. It'll be free. And it's just like, yeah, I'll fucking watch a sci-fi.
I'll sit down.
What?
Well, because Netflix tends to get real out there with their sci-fi.
Right.
Sometimes. And this seems like a little bit more down to earth and reeled in for them.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. They definitely, at least so far with their sci-fi, they haven't had much good sci-fi.
No, no, not at all.
But I think they know that, like, people will just fucking watch it. Because, again, it's not technically free, but it's like, here's another sci-fi.
Right, you have it. Yeah.
I think of people like my father will watch every single sci-fi thing that's offered to them, even like these cheap weird things,
right?
Because there's just certain people who are like, fuck it. I do that with horror, where it's just like, yeah,
if it's on, you'll
you'll
give it a shot. Well, they had that sci-fi movie that they spent $700 million on and no one watched.
Which one was that?
I could not even tell you what it was called. It wasn't worth looking up, but yeah, they just announced they spent $700 million on it, and
that's too much.
Yeah, way too much. Nobody watched it.
How do you spin that?
It's some sci-fi. It looked like a sci-fi thing with kids in it.
Are you reaching for your phone?
Yeah, I kind of.
I can stall while you look it up.
Because
I'm really curious.
There was a story about it today. I should have looked it up because it's.
It's okay. I'm not cutting any of this out, you guys. We're just going to sit here for
you're
a second.
Sit here
while she looks it up on her phone.
While I Google $700 million Netflix movie?
Yeah, I'm going to describe objects in the room. I got a basketball signed by Tommy Wiseau over there, which is weird because the room famously has football, but he was signing basketballs that day.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you find it?
Yes. The IndieWire headline is, what if Netflix released a $700 million blockbuster that no one watched? Oh, wait, it just did. The Wandering Earth.
Oh, wait. The Wandering Earth. They didn't make it.
Okay.
You just blew my mind.
Okay.
Because I might watch that tonight. The Wandering Earth is a Chinese-made movie. And it looks fucking great. Oh, shit.
Okay.
I don't know how much Netflix paid for it. I didn't know they bought the rights. The Wandering Earth is about it's about something where the sun's going to explode or something. So we build a bunch of rockets and literally push the Earth to a new fucking solar system.
Wow, that's dumb.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It was a Chinese production company.
Okay. I think it was theatrical run there.
It's like it was a big fucking investment.
That headline, because that was a thing where I read the headline and not the article, so it was
That's
a little
fair.
Bit of
That's
a
fair.
Yeah, a misnomer where I just in grazing that article, saw that it was the second highest grossing movie ever, like, in the Chinese box office ever.
And no one's watching it here.
And no one's watching it here.
That's such a shame. Everybody go watch that stupid movie.
Real interesting to know how much Netflix paid for it.
Yes. Because
I guess that's what it made in China.
Yeah.
Is $700 million.
That's, oh, man. Sorry, I'm so excited that movie's out. I've been waiting for it.
You're going to watch it. So yeah. Suck that, Andy Wire.
It looks like one of them dumb movies where they like drill into the earth and find dinosaurs or something like that. It's ridiculous. They have to stop the earth from spinning first. And I think the movie starts in that point. So half the earth is sizzling and the other half is frozen. And they're like working. They have to launch all these stupid rockets into space.
Wait,
I don't know how they're going to push the earth, but it just looks... It just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Like, why would you stop it from spin? I feel like the spin would help it. Because
you got
to
push it. You got
to
push it.
But I feel like the spin would help. You already have some momentum going.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know how space works. I don't think...
I've never done that personally, so... I don't really have a lot of advice. What a crazy concept. Well, at least someone's going to watch it.
Yes.
You'll be the brave man who does
I'll
this.
Be so excited.
You'll do it for Netflix.
I got you, Netflix. This is all for
coming
me.
Coming in to save the day.
Okay, well, speaking of disaster movies. There, that's a transition.
Yeah.
It would be better if I didn't call it out.
A real pro.
Yeah, Rim of the World is our next trailer.
Which I thought was a Pacific Rim movie.
Yeah, which when you brought it up, I was like, that's brilliant. It should be. I think it's just...
A movie?
It's a Netflix movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Directed by McG. If anybody's familiar with McG, he directed the Charlie's Angels movies
and he did.
Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. Great track record.
Yeah. McG. And his name is McG.
I do love those Charlie's Angels movies.
I actually like them all right,
too. They're a ton of fun.
One thing I'll say about McG that I might have already brought up on this podcast is that if you watch the behind the scenes of Charlie's Angels, the most excited person to be there is McG.
Yeah.
And he's pumping everybody up and he's just like, yeah, this is going to be fucking awesome. We're going to do it. And he's so into it. And he's just like kind of a bro, but he's like a nice, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, bros are nice.
Yeah. And so he seems to really enjoy making movies.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It looks so dumb.
It does. It looks like they kind of have a little bit of a Stranger Things appeal with the kids.
Yeah. But the kids seem like they have their one personality trait.
Yes.
Like there's the shy kid, there's the kid who dresses like a little rapper.
Right.
From the early 2000s.
You're right. And it's got like Adventure Kids alien theme.
Yeah.
The aliens look terrible.
They look awful.
Yeah.
You don't see them for very long, but they look like giant lizards with claws.
Yeah.
Big old claws.
The CGI, it looks like they're kind of avoiding showing us.
Yeah, it's not done. It's very clear that it's not done.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no excitement for this.
No, not at all. It looked real bad. I feel like it's going to be a giant flop. It's one of those where it will make money overseas.
Yes.
And they have clearly no interest. I would not be surprised if this is the last trailer we see for this movie in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because they're pushing. Like, it's very focused on American culture, I feel like.
I feel like that does well overseas.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like even overseas at this point, they must be like, well, we have Stranger Things.
Right. Like, we've seen it.
Yeah, we'll watch that instead.
You would think people get sick of it. But yeah, it is kids fighting aliens. So yeah, it's Stranger Things, but more action-y. I don't know. It takes place at a summer camp.
Yes.
Or just outside.
Is the summer camp called Rim of the World? Is that where the...
Oh, something... yeah, I think so.
It's already slipping from my brain.
It's some like adventure camp, which also is not a thing.
Yeah,
I don't think.
Well, they have them for adults,
right?
They have like cool adult camps.
But any like sleepaway camp would technically market itself as an adventure camp
because
you're still like away in the woods. I don't know.
Is that what a sleepaway camp means? Like you sleep away. I've never been to camp.
As someone who went to camp for way too long. And into their adult life.
Nice.
Yeah. as a counselor there, not as a camper. Okay. I want that to be clear. You sleep away. You sleep in cabins. You have bunks. Okay. like the Parent Trap.
And then regular camp is just you go there for the day.
Yeah, yeah, day camp. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you go on little day excursions.
I think I went one day at a sleepaway camp as a kid, and I immediately was like, my mom was called, and I came home.
Yeah.
It's a very vague memory.
Yeah, you get those kids. As a counselor, I've dealt with those kids.
Yeah, no.
And
yeah.
You just have to, like, you're just like a 16-year-old kid being like, no, stay, it's fun.
Right.
So, yeah. That. That's what this movie's about.
Yeah, it's about camping.
But aliens comes?
Aliens. I don't know. Let's get to our last trailer.
Yeah.
This is a video game trailer. This actually, Tom sent me, and now Tom isn't here to talk about it, but that's okay. We'll talk about it for
I'll
Tom.
I'll talk about games.
Yeah, this is John Wick Hex.
I'm not a gamer, and I feel like that's been explicitly stated on some podcast. But this isn't normal game animation, is it?
No.
It's very weird.
It reminds me of the, there was a game with, shit, I think it was called 13. David Duchovny did the voice of the character, which is the only reason I bought it, that had this cel shading look. It's like, it is definitely a look in some video games.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it fits John Wick.
I guess I actually would rather see like good graphics in a John Wick
game. Yeah, that would be cool, because John Wick looks so cool.
Yeah, I'm also... I am excited for this, but then when I watched it, they're also doing all the action is like, it's like RPG action,
yeah,
where everything stops and they're like, pick, choose how you're going to fight. And it's like, why can't I just press buttons real fast?
Right. Yeah. That was very strange to me, because John Wick is so fast paced, and like, that is the fun of it, is that it's just like breakneck speed action.
I was, sorry.
No, that's my analysis.
Okay. Yeah, I was just tweeting about this. There was a game with about another Keanu Reeves character called Path of Neo.
Nice.
That at this point is probably, it must be over a decade old, but it was maybe PlayStation 2. And bullet time really lent itself to video games, especially when you're like Neo and you're like jumping around and flying
that's
through the
cool,
air and
yeah.
walking up walls. And then, like, Max Payne was a game that famously had that. And then we just sort of stopped doing it. And I know John Wick doesn't have bullet time in the movie. Yeah. But I feel like they need to, like, slow down time or something to make him do these fast actions. Which I guess is technically what they're doing. But they're, like, stopping everything. Like Zach Morris. And then they're just like, all right,
yeah,
now
choose
pick a
your
bunch
weapon.
Of
and yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I'd get more of a rush having to react quickly as John Wick.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is him doing cool action moves.
Yeah.
But I guess you need that. Feel like you can't just button mash your way through that.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. I don't know. I'm still going to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be cooler to see a John Wick game, or in my case, a trailer for a John Wick game that looked like John Wick.
Yeah.
But I was like very taken by this animation style, because I had not seen that before, and
looked
very strange to me.
It's kind of neat. There's a little bit of this. There's a VR game called Super Hot.
That's what
that has that style.
Not
too.
Specifically that, but okay, that's what I was like. I've seen this and I couldn't place it, but it's a VR.
Have you played Super Hot?
I've not played Super Hot, but I've done a couple like VR experienced things, and.
I have Super Hot. It's a lot of fun. I feel like if you don't play video games, you would like VR more, because it's way more active, and it's like.
Yeah, I just watched a bunch of like VR movies.
Okay.
Essentially, which a
Some
lot
of those
of,
are great.
Yeah, it's seeing storytelling in VR is really fascinating to see come up, but a lot of it was animated like that.
Right.
A lot of the stories had a similar animation style, and I was like, what does this look like? And that's, I'm connecting the dots now.
I feel like for VR, it's mostly because I assume, I don't know anything about making games, but I assume it's really hard to make good graphic VR still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's come so far already.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you're very limited in what you can do and use.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the news stories.
Let's do it.
Our news stories portion. We have a couple here. This first one is, I don't know if it's big news, but the Russo brothers, There was some interview where they implied or said that one of the Avengers characters is secretly gay.
Yeah.
I saw it all over Twitter, which is why I put it on here. It seems like in the interview, they just sort of like, it's like very like, it's not like a big, they're not making it out to be a big announcement. And Kevin Feige apparently said this earlier before Endgame that there are two gay characters that are coming up. One of them we now know is like a random dude.
Right,
in
the dude in the
group.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like the other one will be that too. Like it's something, it was like, I don't want to click on the link, but like the interview was something like them saying to them like, oh, is there anybody else who might be gay? And they say something like, that's our first openly gay character. And they're like, what about secretly gay? And they're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And then they were like, that became the headline. One of the Avengers is secretly gay.
I feel like, and I don't, talking into a microphone in 2019 is hard. I don't want to tell people. I feel like it's more offensive that you're making it a story than it
right.
Like I feel like just do the thing and it
right.
will be cool and normal, like,
and that's the,
and people will have that as an icon, but like stop making this a story. Just do it or don't do it, or I mean preferably do it, because there should be a gay superhero. But
yeah, exactly, there should 100% be more like LGBT like role models.
Yeah,
and but they don't have to do this like crazy victory
hype
lap
thing. Yeah.
For this, like, so far it's just one random character,
right? You're making it weird by doing this so yeah. much. Like it's normal and cool and should happen, but like you're making it weird by talking about it.
Weird weird example, the remake of Poseidon, which
yes,
was
we
in, like,
all
2006
remember, yeah.
Richard
the one
Dreyfuss,
with Fergie.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss plays a suicidal man who is, I think, going through a divorce, and it's sort of like very briefly mentioned that he's married to another man, but yeah. they don't do anything with that. They're just like, yeah, this character's gay, we're moving on.
Yeah,
it more of that would be nice. It's
because that's how the world works.
Yeah, exactly, because that's how the world works.
I mean, in most parts of the, you know,
Marvel seems like nervous about it or something.
Yeah, it's like very clearly a weird studio note that comes from like the top titans who run Disney or
right.
whatever. It's really frustrating that it's yeah. like just do it or don't do it. Also, isn't Valkyrie canonically gay?
Oh, you're right, it is Valkyrie. Sorry, I was also like, because if this is true, and
right.
it was suddenly like a mystery. I was like, okay,
right,
which
you
character
gotta narrow
could
down.
Be gay? And most of them are in relationships, and it's like, okay, well, if we're not saying bi, then like these people, they've already clearly are
right.
are straight, and like, and so then I was thinking like a Captain Marvel, Falcon,
right? I mean.
And then I forgot a Valkyrie, who is, like you said, they cut out the fact that she was gay
yeah.
in the...
It's so also clear they...
It's probably her.
It's probably her because, yeah, all the Valkyries are gay, from what I understand.
Really?
The comic. Well, because it's like, it's Wonder Woman rules where they just hang out with women.
So they're all banging.
Yeah.
Right. They're all having a great time.
I mean, it was also very clear that in some version of Captain Marvel, she was gay. And then it got taken out as a studio note.
Oh, okay.
It just read that way to me when I watched that movie.
Well, that lady, who,
right?
They seem to have some sort of intimate relationship.
Yeah.
It felt like, could be a friendship. But
it
felt like there was something there that could have been there.
Yeah, there was just like a chemistry that I feel like was played into. And yeah, I just remember there was a line in the movie where her friend was like, yeah, you woke me up in the middle of the night, and everyone's like, this is it,
right.
And then she's like, you knocked on my door, and
it's
like,
oh,
that
come
was
on.
Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it's Valkyrie because they kind of threw the Thor thing to her,
right?
Also,
I do, again, Disney is pain in the ass with this because Marvel should definitely, I mean, they're having this trouble where still most of their heroes, I mean, it's getting better, but are like white dudes,
yeah,
straight white dudes, but like they have kind of a like a responsibility to set a fucking standard here,
yeah,
and have not just that, but it also like, I've mentioned this a few times, from a cold business stance, it just makes sense too,
right,
to be more diverse and therefore
right.
attract
sell
a larger
more toys.
Audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sell toys to gay kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd make a lot of money.
You it's, would.
Yeah. Just
do it, Disney.
Don't
Come
even
on.
Do it because it's right. Do it because you can make money off of it. Just do it.
Yeah, just do
for
it.
Whatever reason, just do it. It's
Fuck's
not.
Sake.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, you don't have to tease these things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe we'll have a gay character coming out.
Right, you're
Wouldn't
turning...
Wouldn't that be great? And
you're
it's
also,
like, fuck's sake.
You're turning people away by doing that because it's so goddamn annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's stop being those people.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about the Avatar sequels.
Yeah.
On the subject of Disney, the Avatar sequels are being pushed back a few more years. Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I got a push notification about this on like my, you know, Apple News app that said, "Sorry, Avatar fans, you're gonna have to wait a couple of years." And I was like, "Who? Who?
What Avatar fans?
Who are you talking to? No one cares."
This is like
movies won't come out, and it's fine.
This is like a friend talking about a novel they've been working on for like 10 years, and at a certain point, you're just like, "Ah, oh, can't wait to read it, man." Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, who gives a shit? They were 10 years too late when they announced these movies.
Right. James Cameron, just shut up. With your annoying Marvel, like, congratulations to Marvel for topping the Titanic.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've done that for ages now, apparently.
I know. It's annoying.
Yeah.
And James Cameron, no one cares about your bad movies.
It was also the Titanic one, because he tweeted that, because they've done the thing where they make a little Photoshop or, you know, back in the day, it was a drawing of like one movie beating up another.
Yeah.
And this was a weird one to watch Avengers beat up the Titanic.
By being the iceberg?
Yeah. And it was just like, I feel like,
graphically, like, looked horrible.
Yeah, also, like, yeah, with a time machine, if I brought that back to a certain point, people would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
It also looks like the Titanic is beating the Avengers, because it looks like it's pushing the A down into the ocean.
Right.
To me. I didn't...
Yeah, it looks... Yeah, it does. It looks like...
That's what I... It looks like it was drowning it.
What if
Because there, you see the ocean under the bottom of the A, so you're like, yeah, it's just going to sink.
Maybe he was so confident Avengers wouldn't beat Titanic that he actually originally made that as like a victory
Right, and he's
post.
Like, it still works.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No need to change it.
It's like, it's the Avengers is saving the Titanic in that. It's like lift. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all weird.
It's all bad, and you're still using your bad serif font.
What really bugs me is that they've been teasing for years, and it's still just rumors, that they're going to do a 4K restoration. It was Blu-ray at one point of True Lies and The Abyss, which are both, neither of which are out. At this point, you can't. True Lies is barely on streaming, and the only version of it that you can get is an old DVD. It's not even on Blu-ray, because James Cameron insists on supervising all the transfers.
Oh, get over yourself.
Exactly. And it's been bugging the hell out of me, because it's like, True Lies is one of his best action movies.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I gotta do some more Avatars. And it's like, motherfucker, just go
fix True Lies.
Yeah, fix True Lies. Fix fucking The Abyss. Then we'll talk about fucking Avatar.
I'll give you my
too.
Money if you do those two things.
Yeah.
I won't give you my money for Avatar, because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
And I think
it's boring as shit, and it's super long.
Yeah. I wonder if the reason it's getting pushed back is, like, do you think Disney is even into this? I'm imagining, like, I've been imagining, like, James Cameron from the start, them being like, I don't know. And he's like, it's okay, I'll pay for it. And him just, like, calling Disney every week, like, got a little more Avatar done. And they're like, that's great, man.
I feel like they just have an accounting code that at Disney that's just like, yeah, just keep coding it to Avatar. And it's just like an endless money pit that they're just letting run up. Like, there's no cap to it. They're like, yeah, just whatever you want to do. Yeah, make your movie, whatever. Yeah. You've put in enough.
I would not be surprised if this was all a money laundering scheme of some sort. If like one day James Cameron just gets arrested and they're like, there was no, what, Avatar 2? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, just all these checks that he's paying out aren't cash clearing all of a sudden. Because Disney's like, you're still making those 20 years later?
Yeah.
And 2 still hasn't come out. I feel like, not even your parent company cares if you're making these movies or not.
Yeah. It really feels that way.
Like, do it or don't do it. We'll find a way to make our return.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Disney, we just got news that Disney is cutting Fox's film releases in half.
Oh, my God. Ruthless.
Yeah. It's
fucking ruthless.
It needs to. Someone needs to step in here.
I'm cursing a lot. Do you care?
No. Oh, okay. Fuck no. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Just making sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah. I mean, of course they are.
Yeah.
Did you think they were just going to let Fox keep being Fox as, like, a competitor? Yeah, of course they were going to swallow them whole and not let them do anything.
Yeah, this is, I assume you didn't see Dumbo?
No.
We had to watch it, me and Tom, for
a podcast. I kind of wanted to, just because, you know, I'm a fan of cute things.
Yeah, it's needlessly sad. It's of those where the people in it act irrationally evil, and you're just like, fuck this. But one of the subplots is that it's about a circus getting bought out by a bigger circus called, like, Funland.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's run by Michael Keaton.
Yeah, right.
And they fire most of the staff of the original circus.
Yikes.
This is a Disney movie. It was directed by Tim Burton, who also has But he has a lot of bad history with Disney. So it's basically Tim Burton, like, dissing Disney on the down low, and Disney did not notice.
It's great. I love when a company can do that. But no one should be surprised. Fox wasn't gonna keep being Fox.
Yeah.
They're gonna co-opt everything as the Disney brand.
Yeah, it's getting real bad.
I mean, it doesn't, like, that's a ruthless move. It doesn't seem necessary because Fox movies still make a ton of money.
Right.
So you're just kinda
they're
doing it to just flex some muscle.
Yeah.
So Mickey can flex his muscle.
Yep.
There's no reason. Like, you're still, it's not like you need to be conservative with your money, Disney.
Right, exactly.
You bought a whole company, let them do their thing.
They can take all the risks they want. They can lose money.
They essentially run a monopoly on the box office. So
I just read something that was like the top 5 grossing movies right now are Disney movies. Like, there's gonna be history written on this era of, like, how badly things got with this. Because
go to any movie theater right now, it's like 8 Avengers screening and then a screening of Long Shot.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So, which I'm sure is somehow also tied to Disney.
It's a real bummer.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, yeah, you're, any movie in theater is a Disney movie. Or at least probably 90% of that market share. Yeah. I'm making up numbers, but, I feel right about them.
We had laws about this, and we talked about this over and over again. I think every hypebeast have talked about this, but, like, there were laws that studios can't own theaters, and now streaming has changed that.
Right.
It's out of control.
Well, studios can't own theaters, sure, but a studio can own every movie that is going to the theater.
And then a streaming service that distributes it and gets to choose specifically which movies they distribute. It's gone out of hand. It feels like there's a lot of laws that we didn't put in place that we needed to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's as bleak as it seems. If I can get, like, nerdy about the state of the industry, where you're not going to the theater to see an indie movie anymore.
No, and streaming, and
there are indie movies you want to see. So you're going to see them on Netflix. And then so Netflix has the money to, or Hulu or whoever is making movies is just going to shell out that money to make those. And
streaming has helped indie movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't exist or going away. They're just, you know, not going to be in theaters anymore.
Right.
Or at least on wide release in theaters, which we can lament all we want, but really it doesn't matter. They're still being made.
Right.
And they're still being seen. And watched by the people who have always watched them.
Well, I think the thing that's being killed is the mid-range movies, right?
Yeah.
And there's something to that. I mean, they're not being complete. I think they're figuring it out.
They are, because, like, if you go on Netflix right now, a lot of Netflix's output is a mid-range, is rom-coms.
Right.
Which also, are that market share.
Yeah. Also, shit like Game of Thrones, like, TV has gotten to a whole new level. So we're still kind of getting that out of TV.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just like you can't rely on the movie theater anymore.
Yeah. Also, shit changes.
Yeah.
It's more, I think the biggest concern is just a single company having all the power is a problem.
Yeah.
I think the way we watch movies is probably better than ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have more available to you and more, there's more diversity in the movies, like you're saying.
Yeah.
In genre, and then filmmakers can make, you know, weirder stuff.
Right.
Because they're not going through your standard Disney kind of studio thing. So yeah, you're going to go to the theater and you're going to watch your big shiny action movies. And right. That's always going to be a thing. I mean, the Disney this thing, I feel like, is just more annoying than anything.
Right. This is what Spielberg was predicting, like, I don't know, a few years ago, where he was just like, yeah movies will, theaters will just be big events.
Yeah.
And I get it, because going to the theater sucks anyway. It's
so expensive.
People. It's really expensive, especially here.
Well, that I mean, this is part. That's part of the reason why it's expensive.
Yeah. And there is definitely, whenever we do, we just watched, sometimes we'll go see Avengers, but other times we'll watch like a shitty horror movie.
Yeah.
Like Winchester or something.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than having to pay $20 to sit in like the giant Dolby theater of AMC to watch fucking Winchester.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that sucks.
Yeah. And it's like, this should be straight to streaming.
If I'm going to a movie now, it's, because it's a movie that culturally I feel that I need to see and or want to see. Or it's a movie where I'm like, I'm going to get super stoned and go see that.
Oh, yeah.
Like Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
those are the two. Movie. Yeah. Those are the two movies I venture out into theaters for. Or early screenings. I saw an early screening of Booksmart in a theater.
Oh, how is it?
Oh, it's so good.
It looks so good.
It was so funny.
It's at like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes,
I
think.
Everyone go watch it the minute you can. I can't wait to see it again. It's very, very funny.
I'm excited for that. That's next weekend it comes out?
I think so.
I know there's a weekend coming out. There's like four movies I want to see.
Yeah, Booksmart is, it's great. Billy Lord is so funny. Yeah, it's, all the actresses are very, very funny in it.
Very excited for that one.
Yeah, I don't want to overhype it, but good, solid film.
Yeah.
So yeah, no one go see that in theaters. Go support Booksmart.
Support Booksmart?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our final news story, which is such a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all right. it's just like, this is a thing I've been seeing again on Twitter where it just feels like a dream. Mel Gibson is apparently playing like a mean Santa Claus in a movie called Fat Man.
Hasn't this happened? It's not even a dream. It's a thing that has happened.
It happened with an actor who was way less anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
we had it already.
I've probably, again, have said this before. I've had this opinion for a while. For everyone who thinks like there's a conspiracy of Jews running Hollywood, we're still letting Mel Gibson make movies. Yes. If that were true, that for damn sure wouldn't happen.
It's so weird.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
He's still in. He's in that movie Dragged Across Concrete, which I'm really conflicted on. Because,
I would love to see him get dragged across concrete.
Well, it's the director of. Did you ever see Bone Tomahawk?
Oh.
Yeah. And so, Brawl in Cell Block something. Why can't I think of the number? Oh, that's going to bug the crap out of me. The point is that this director kind of makes good movies. Yeah. And then he's made this movie with Mel Gibson, and it's almost 3 hours long. And it was like, you're really asking for a lot, man. I don't want to watch a 3-hour Mel Gibson movie. I don't want to watch Braveheart. But
no.
Like,
what?
Yeah.
Just stop putting him in movies. It's really easy. There are a million Mel Gibson types.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we're doing this. And
I don't
why
know.
Say, like, oh my God.
There's something there. Like, Jodie Foster defended him. Danny Glover defended him. Like, people who've worked with him seem to defend him a lot.
About that anti-Semite's a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird. I think he's very embedded in that. In the industry in some way.
I mean, he was like the dude in the 90s.
He was the dude.
In the late 90s. So yeah, I'm sure he's made a lot of buddies and that's why he keeps getting movies.
Right.
But like,
but we're all set.
But we don't, like, especially this, like, maybe, you know,
he
make
has
another
money. Like,
he has enough money. Or like, if you're going to do a movie, make another The Patriot or something at least good. Like,
right.
The movies he keeps getting put in are bad too.
Yeah, this just seems, I don't know what this is.
Not defending him. Not like if he made a good movie, all is forgiven. But
he's been
you know?
He's been making some indie films too. I saw, but like,
oh right,
it's But I don't know.
But fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's not like we're putting him on the streets. Like, he's rich.
Right, he'll be fine.
And it's just like, look, I'm not attracted to movies he's in anymore. Yeah. It isn't a draw.
Just go away.
Yeah, especially one like this. It's like what was the one where he's Mark Wahlberg's dad? And it was like, well, that makes sense.
Daddy's Home too.
Yeah. It's just like, why would you do that? Why would you do any of that?
And of course he's Mark Wahlberg's dad. It's someone perfect. Else who committed a hate crime.
Exactly. It's great. Technically, that's terrific casting.
Great casting. Yeah. Sure. Just stop. Like, it's so easy not to.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're obsessed with making everyone mad.
Maybe he knows how to get all the best drugs. And they're like, maybe. Look, we got to get Mel in here. He knows how to get all the best
drugs. Yeah, he knows where that... did you read the Angelica Houston article on Variety? Her interview?
No, I didn't read it. I heard of it.
It's very good. It's interesting. But she talks about... good 70s cocaine. I feel like Mel has access to that. Maybe that's why.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, she talks about upstairs and downstairs cocaine for a while.
That is such a thing Angelica Houston would talk about.
Jack Nicholson would have parties and he'd have downstairs cocaine, which was like his bad cocaine.
Right.
It's the party.
It's the cheap cocaine you put out for parties. I get it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah,
and it's like good liquor and bad liquor.
Yeah, and yeah, she was like comparing a good cocaine to champagne. It's like a nice champagne. It's a very amusing article.
That's excellent. I'm gonna read the shit out of that.
Yeah,
that makes me way more happy.
She is a checkered woman.
Yes. She seems like a terrific maniac. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go read that.
All right, I'll do that instead of this movie. Okay, so we have one final thing.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that deserves more hype.
Yes.
This is me pitching a movie that I haven't seen that much attention for, but more people should be interested in.
It looks super cool.
Yes, guys, this is called The Lodge. If you're a horror geek, you probably already know. It's got an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't have a release date yet. The big catch. Sorry, I just looked in the link, and did I give you the trailer link for this?
I found it.
I'm looking at the Google Doc and I gave the link to our Twitch channel instead of the actual
trailer. I watched a blank Twitch screen for like 30 seconds, but
sorry.
I figured it out. No, it's cool, you're just plugging me.
Yeah, this trailer had like, when I caught it, it had like 50,000 views, which isn't much. It's all right. This is why, the big reason why it deserves hype is the directors of Goodnight Mommy. Did you see that movie?
I did not.
I personally did not like Goodnight Mommy.
Okay.
But to be objective, a lot of people did. It has a very high rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's right there with the Babadook. It follows like when those movies were coming out and we were realizing like we could have more slow burn horror.
Yeah.
Now we're kind of doing more and more. Right. And that's what this looks like. This is about a woman and her stepkids, right?
Yeah.
Who are at a lodge and the father has to go somewhere and they wake up.
He's got to go. He's just got to go.
He's got to bounce, yeah. It's a snowy lodge and they wake up and there's no food and there's no supplies or like clothes or anything suddenly. Yeah. And including this woman's medication. And it's revealed, I think it's revealed early, that she was the ex-member of a cult.
Right. Everyone in the cult committed suicide except for her.
Yeah. And so it's sort of this weird, tense relationship between these kids and her, which sounds a lot like Goodnight Mommy. Goodnight Mommy is about two kids who think their mom isn't really their mom. Ooh. She just had surgery, and so her face is covered for it. It's a good idea. Without spoiling anything, the problem with the movie is the twist is so obvious that I didn't know it was a twist. Like when they reveal it, I'm like, yeah, we know. Like that's a thing that's been happening.
Game of Thrones does that to me.
Yeah. other than that, I should give it a second chance, but there's a lot of tense scenes in Goodnight Mommy, because they ultimately, like, and this is in the trailer, but they, like, they tie her up and they're trying to interrogate her, and it's like a fucking nightmare. So this feels similar, where it's kids versus a mother.
Yeah, I didn't quite get who the, if she was the villain or the victim or one of the victims.
Right.
Because you still have that creepy pastor that they were looking at in the trailer.
Right. And it seems like there's like some supernatural stuff.
It seems like, yeah, there's some like weird surreal element where it had a shot that kind of reminded me of Hereditary, where it's like she's looking through a house. So she looks big and the house looks like a miniature.
Right. I think there's got to be... I really hope they do something other than, because Goodnight Mommy is again one where it's like, is she not their mom? Is she their,
right?
Like, I hope they don't just do the same, like, just child versus lady thing. I hope there's I feel like the fact that they wake up and all the shit's gone and stuff like that.
Right.
Like maybe the cult is involved.
Right.
In
that's kind of how I read it, is that the cult is kind of coming back to get her.
Yeah. Whatever the case, it looks
It looked really interesting, and Riley Cuff, I don't know how to say her last name, Kioff, isn't it? And she's really good.
What has she done?
This is a deep cut. American Honey.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No.
She's also done a bunch of other things, and that's the thing that sticks out to me, because she's great in that.
This also
I think she's somehow related. She's a Presley in some way.
Okay. This also has Alicia Silverstone, which was funny because in the trailer, you don't see any Alicia Silverstone.
No.
And I looked it up on IMDb and I was like, what the fuck is Alicia Silverstone doing on this? I thought, like, is this the wrong movie?
Yeah.
I looked it up as I guess she is eliminated in the first, like, she's the kid's real mom and she blows her head off in like the first 10 minutes or something. Yeah, it's a brief moment of Alicia Silverstone.
Ooh, I feel like she's getting a lot of that role, roles where she's on screen for 2 seconds and then something horrifying happens.
Is she doing a lot of work? I want more Alicia Silverstone.
I feel like I can't put my finger on what it was, but I definitely saw her in something where she was in it for like 2 seconds and then something awful happened to her. And I feel like it was a comedy.
No,
I don't remember what it was.
That's a shame.
But yeah.
Yeah. This movie, yeah. This
it looked
movie,
awesome.
This movie looks, if you like those slow burns, if you like Hereditary, if you liked Goodnight Mommy, It Comes at Night, all of those.
Yeah.
Although It Comes at Night is a more controversial one. I feel like this is going to be more supernatural.
Yeah. It feels like, yeah, I kind of classified it as like cinematic horror movies.
Yes. There have been a lot of these, and I think it's actually going to be like found footage where we're going to get a little sick of them. They're going to start becoming cookie cutter, or people are going to start abusing it. I think.
I don't see how you abuse the format of that, or maybe I can see how you do it badly.
Yes,
but I don't feel like there's a formula enough to them. Maybe
that's true. There is no formula. I guess I mean that, like, right now I've been really appreciating these movies. The Wind is one that just came out. That's on streaming. These, like, slow burn horror movies.
You can do it badly in that you just drag it out too long and it becomes boring.
Yes, and that's what I think some asshole is going to make a movie that,
for
like,
sure,
seems like it means something but doesn't really, and there wasn't much thought put into it.
Yeah, some Max Landis type is definitely going to do that. But
yeah. For now, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
I think that's an episode, you guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it. We got through it. We didn't need Tom.
Yeah. He was delicious.
Yes. He looks delicious. I'd eat Tom. I think we'd all eat Tom.
Yeah. Tom. That's for sure. But I did.
Bridget, thanks for joining me and co-hosting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, where can we find you? What do you got to plug?
Right now, you can find me on Twitter at Bridget Tweets, on Instagram at Bridget-Greenberg, I believe. Right now, you'll see what I'm working on there. I got some shorts that will come out online soon.
Short films, or like cool, like shorts. Like,
yeah, they're tiny movies. Working on it. I just produced one with our friend Teresa Lee.
Yes.
That will be online soon.
Oh, good. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, yeah. She wrote it. She's in it. It's very good. She did a great job. And I got to work on it. And also producing sketches at College Humor. So you can watch those.
Awesome. Do it. Everybody do that. You probably know, guys, our Patreon is patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. I just want to use this moment to announce that we have a new Fox Mulder is a Maniac t-shirt and poster. It was made by Starlene Hodge. It is a spoof, a parody of the meme, the It's Always Sunny meme of Charlie with the conspiracy wall, only it's Mulder.
It's great.
Pretty delightful.
It is great.
Yeah.
I am a bad plugger and forgot to plug my
own.
Two more plugs. I'm horrible and forgot that I also have a podcast that you can...
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot about it. Head over to the sister Patreon of this one, Small Beans, and listen to Rough Stuff and What Dinosaur Real Good.
They're both very excellent.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. Follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.